Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I'm so excited about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where the Welcome Mat is now open. They are welcoming out-of-state visitors, and that means that three-hour drive east of Tucson is now very much in play. So much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, hanging out in historic downtown Silver City. You can find out about all the many things to do and the great places to stay by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. I think many people are ready for some kind of a vacation or road trip. I saw something yesterday, some survey saying that 87% of Americans are planning to do some kind of vacation between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Something, whether it's a road trip, maybe a short road trip to Silver City, where that, by the way, the temperature is a very nice 83 degrees, usually about, it's usually about 10 to 15, sometimes even 20 degrees cooler. But people are ready to get away. We are ready for attorney Don Luce in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Mr. Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices here in Tucson, a beautiful office in Tucson, and of course they're up in Phoenix as well. He is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and his other book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books now in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. And before we get started, let me wish you a happy anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, and very much appreciate your greeting, joining with many of our Facebook friends. I posted a picture from one of our vacations, a picture I still like it. It was taken a couple of years ago in the Bahamas, and I'm very much thankful for friends like you, Don Luce. Thank you very much.
Feelings mutual.
I want to begin with, this is from Bloomberg, and I'll read just the first couple of sentences. Texas nurse Jennifer Briggs plans to go to work on June 7th, like it's any other day. The only difference is that when Jennifer gets to work, she expects to be fired. That day is the deadline that her employer, Houston Medical Hospital, has given its staff to get the COVID-19 vaccine, something that Briggs doesn't want to do. So we come to the conclusion here, and many have on different commentators, that this is a legal issue. So this is where you come in, Don. I wanted some of your thoughts on this. First of all, the general topic of mandating a vaccination.
Right. So I actually asked several people before the interview what they thought their legal rights were. Some worked in the legal field, some didn't. And by and large, most people don't believe that your employer can legally mandate COVID-19 vaccinations.
Even if it's in the healthcare setting, like this at a hospital.
Even if it's in the healthcare setting, and especially on a broad basis, whether you're dealing with the public or not dealing with the public. But the fact of the matter is, Bill, most employers, and it depends on the circumstances, and we'll talk about that, can mandate that their employees get COVID-19 vaccinations and provide proof.
Hmm.
Now, here's sort of how it breaks down. Let's start with the very broad universe of workers. There are unionized workers, and then there are non-unionized workers. In Arizona, I think it's fair to say that most workers are non-unionized, although that is not true in other parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
especially in the Northeast and the Midwest. There are a lot of unionized workforces in those areas. If you're part of a unionized workforce, then you have the protection of the collective bargaining agreement, which your union and your employer have entered into. Now, if your employer and you're part of a union wants to implement a mandate that you must have a COVID-19 vaccination, it likely will have to deal with your union first.
Right. I was going to say the union would most likely have to sign off on that, correct?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But as I mentioned, in Arizona and a lot of other states in the Southwest, most of the workers do not belong to a union, so they don't have the protection of a collective bargaining agreement. So let's go to the non-unionized workforce. There are two types. There are workers who work at very small places of employment, which is less than 15 workers,
mm-hmm.
and employees who work at places of business that have 15 or more workers. There's a big difference here because if you have less than 15 workers, you are not subject to the requirements of Title VII, which is a federal act, also known as the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and you are not subject to the American with Disabilities Act, also a federal act. So if you have less than 15 workers...
Which many, many small businesses fit into that category in Arizona.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And most of those businesses are non-unionized.
Right.
That means that their employees, unless they have a written employment agreement with their employer, are employees at will, which means that they can be terminated at any time with or without cause. The only caveat is they can't be terminated for an improper reason. But the employer, generally speaking, is not required to provide a reason for the termination.
Hmm.
So with regard to the very small employers, I would say they enjoy more of a safe harbor than the larger employers for imposing these COVID-19 vaccination mandates. If you work for a small employer, you don't belong to a union, and you don't have a written employment contract with your employer that requires cause for termination, I would suggest that you probably could be terminated if your employer required vaccination and you refused, and probably wouldn't matter what the reason for the refusal was.
Hmm.
Now, that's different with regard to larger employers, because if you have 15 or more workers, then the protections afforded by the 1964 Civil Rights Act, Title VII, and the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, apply. And if you, for instance, hold a sincerely held religious belief that vaccinations are improper, and you express your belief to your employer is probably going to be required to try to find a reasonable accommodation for you. Failure to do that might constitute a violation of Title VII.
Mm.
It might constitute discrimination on the basis of religion, which is prohibited. Similarly, if under the ADA, you have a disability that prohibits you from getting vaccinated, then your employer likely will also have to try to find a reasonable accommodation for you that doesn't create an undue hardship on the part of the employer before it would be in a position where it could terminate you. But as we've seen, those two areas of protection are fairly limited. They're limited to workers who have sincerely held religious beliefs, and they're limited to workers who have bona fide disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest to you that most workers don't fit into either of those categories.
Most workers will not fit into either of those categories.
And what that means is that even larger employers, if they're not part of a collective bargaining agreement, are probably in a position where they can require their workers mm-hmm. to get vaccinated and to provide proof of vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another caveat,
mm-hmm.
and that is any medical information that an employer acquires mm-hmm. from its workers mm-hmm. has to remain confidential.
Mm.
And one would argue that there's protections afforded to information about the vaccinations that a worker has received. And so employers who do require proof of vaccination ought to be very careful to keep those sort of data pieces confidential, or they run the risk of violating another federal statute.
Wow.
Which is HIPAA. So a lot of rules. Now, are there lawsuits? Yes. The lady about whom you mm-hmm. spoke at the opening, I mm-hmm. believe, is going
yes.
to challenge that legally.
Uh-huh.
Are they going to be successful? too early to tell,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's fair to say that as a general rule, employers can mandate their workers to get vaccinated against COVID as a general rule. Now, we talked about the various mm-hmm. exceptions. I would also suggest that even though this may be a right that employers have, it may be a right that they don't necessarily want to exercise for several practical reasons. Number one, it's really hard to find good employees,
mm-hmm.
especially during this pandemic.
Right.
So if you're an employer and you put out a mandate that everyone has to get vaccinated and you have workers who don't comply, then you're essentially, you've backed yourself into a corner. Now you have to terminate those workers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're just losing good employees that were so hard to find in the first place.
In an increasingly now tight job market.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. what I've been suggesting to people who have asked about this subject is be very careful before you make it a mandate. Rather than make it a mandate, let's look at ways to encourage the workers to get vaccinated voluntarily.
A suggestion with...
Voluntarily. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why don't you pay for them, pay for the time that it takes them to get vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you provide incentives? Not only pay for them for the time that they're gone to get vaccinated, but provide another incentive. And I think that employers can go a long way in getting voluntary cooperation from the workers rather than putting out a mandate that's going to back them perhaps into a legal corner.
That sounds like very common sense advice, Don Luce. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Don Luce of the Luce Law Group. And I want to mention Don's very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books now in their second printing. Don Luce, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on really a subject that so many have so many questions about. Thank you, Don.
My pleasure.
That'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of attorney Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering, producing the show, doing a great job as usual, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.